Chagiga Daf Yud Ches. We are somewhat continuing a conversation that we started last week in Daf Yud Zayin. The beginning of Yud Ches is going to continue looking for sources for the fact that one can bring karbanos tashlumin on Shavuos, even after the Shavuos day itself. You can continue to bring karbanos throughout the week afterwards. We're going to have one more source for that. And then Yud Ches Amud Aleph is going to turn to talk about the inyan of Isser Molacha B'chol HaMoed, which we are very familiar with from our Moed Katan days. And we're going to quote five sources or so for the Isser Molacha and Chol HaMoed. But then I'm going to have one more point going back to the Mishnah on Yud Zayin about when Shavuos falls on Shabbos and we bring the Karbanos, the Yom Tavuach, we bring the Karbanos of Shavuos on the following day, how we have to be super careful about that Sunday, because that Sunday is when the Tzidukim think that Shavuos is supposed to be, and so we are Mati or Hesped V'tainas on that day. We're going to have one more point about that on the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And then Yud Ches Amud Beis is going to be a real transition for the Masechta, where we start talking about Inyane, Tuma and Tara, which is really going to be what the remainder of the Masechta focuses on, at least in the Mishnayos, talking about washing your hands and purifying, being Matahar yourself in various ways before you're going to eat Kachin, Truma, or Meiser Sheni, etc., etc. So let's get started in the beginning of Yud Ches Amud Aleph, the second line, very Reish Lakish Omar. So now Reish Lakish is going to also try to suggest another makor, a source for the fact that you can bring the karbanos of Shavuos, not only on Shavuos itself, but if you didn't have the opportunity to bring on Shavuos, you can continue to bring the karbanos, you can bring tashlumin throughout the week after Shavuos. The Reish Lakish Omar, V'chag HaKatzir. The pasuk says, it refers to Shavuos as Chag HaKatzir, the day when you cut up your harvest and you bring it all in. Ezehu Chag Sh'atach Kogig B'Kotzer Bo. On which holiday are you Kotzer? Havi Omer Zeh Atzeres. That's referring to Atzeres. That's referring to Shavuos. So Amos, when exactly on Shavuos are you allowed to be Kotzer? What does that mean? Katzira is Aser. It's a malacha. You can't do malacha on Yontif. So Ilema B'Yontif. If it's referring to Shavuos itself, that it's called Chag HaKatzir because you are Kotzer on Yontif, but that's not true. Katzir B'Yontif Mishari, that's not Mutter. You can't do Katzira on Shavuos itself. Elalav Tashlumin. It must be that when the Pasuk refers to Shavuos as Chag HaKatzir, it's referring to a part of the Chag where you're allowed to do Melacha. So when is that? It must be referring to Tashlumin. It's referring to the days after Shavuos, and it's still called Chag HaKatzir. Why? Because it's L'tashlumin. You're allowed to continue to bring the karbanos even the days after Shavuos, right? As opposed to Pesach and Sukkot, where obviously if you didn't bring it on day one, you could bring it the rest of the Chag, because day two, day three, those are all still Sukkot. But even on Shavuos, where the day after Shavuos is seemingly just a regular weekday, you can still have Tashlumin, you can still bring the karbanos afterwards. So that's Reish Lakish. He's suggesting a new makor for the fact that you can have tashlumin on Shavuos. Rav Yochanan is not a fan of that makor. He says, "Amar Rav Yochanan, elamayata chag ha'asif." Let's apply that logic to the pasuk which describes Sukkot as chag ha'asif, the holiday of gathering. Izehu chag sheyesh bo asifa. Which holiday is the pasuk referring to when you have asifa, you can gather stuff in? Havayomer ze chag asukos. Presumably, that's referring to chag asukos. But Amos, when on Sukkot are you allowed to do asifa? Ile ma b'yamtif, melacha b'yamtif mishari. Right, asifa is like me'amer. There's an iser melacha to do asifa, so it can't be referring to Sukkot itself. You can't do asifa on Sukkot itself. So when is chag ha'asif describing a day when you're allowed to do asifa? So ela b'cholo shamoed. Maybe it's referring to chol ha'moed, but that can't be either. Because Chol HaShamoed Mishari. You can't do Malacha on Chol HaMoed either. There's an Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed also. So Ella, how is it referring to Sukkot as Chag HaAsif if you can never actually do Asifa? Ella must be Chag Haba Bizman Asifa. It just means Chag HaAsif. This is the holiday of Sukkot which falls out during the season when people do Asifa. So Hachanami Chag Haba Bizman Katzira. So Reish Lakish, you were saying that Chag HaKatzir must be referring to Shavuos because it refers to a time when you're allowed to do Katzira, and when you're allowed to do Katzira must be referring to after Shavuos, and it's referring to Tashlumin for after Shavuos. Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? Chag HaKatzir could just be referring to Shavuos is the holiday which is during the season when people do Katzira. And it's not referring to a day when it's Mutter. It's just referring to Stam. Shavuos is a holiday during that time of year, and there's not going to be any Raya for the fact that one would do Tashlumin for Shavuos. Luckily, we still have several Mikoros, several sources for the fact of Tashlumen on Shavuos, which we had on Yedayin Amal Aleph, we had the first one, and Yedayin Amal Beis, we had the second one. But this third source of Reish Lakish is not going to be a proper source for the concept of Tashlumen by Shavuos. So during that discussion, during that Shlach Levataria, the Gemara assumes that Malacha on Chol HaMoed is Aser. Right, it said, what's Chag HaAsif referring to? It's referring to Sukkot, but it can't be referring to the holiday of Sukkot itself because it's an Isser Malacha. And it says, it can't be referring to Chol HaMoed because Chol HaMoed is also Aser to do Asifa. So what are you talking about? There's an Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So we're introduced to this concept of an Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed, again, all the way back in Moed Katan. If you even look on Moed Katan Daf Bezumet Aleph, Tosfos right there quotes our Gemara, Chagiga Yed Chesamet Aleph, as the place where the real discussion of the Isser Malacha is spoken about. So what's the nature of the Isser Malacha? I think it's good to have a bit of a background as to what exactly we're dealing with. There's a three-way machlokes amongst the Rishonim as to whether the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed is an Isser D'Oraisa or an Isser D'Rabbanan, or I guess a third option, because there's a three-way machlokes, even though there seem to be only two options. Rashi says that Malacha on Chol HaMoed is Aser Mid'Oraisa, which kind of makes sense, because we're going to quote several sources from Psukim. Later on in our Gemara, we're going to be quoting a whole bunch of Psukim as the source for Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So it would seem to be that this is an Isser D'Oraisa. We also have a Gemara Moed Katan Yad Aleph Amid Beis, which explicitly says that Afila B'chol HaShamoed D'Oraisa, Tosfos quotes that Gemara Moed Katan, which we also remember from having done Moed Katan previously. The Gemara explicitly refers to Chol HaMoed having an Isser Malacha D'Oraisa. This is the opinion of Rashi, this is the opinion of the Sefer HaChinuch as well. But Tosfos is not a fan of this Shita. Tosfos does not think that Chol HaMoed is Aser Mid'Oraisa. If you look in Tosfos Cholol Shel Moed Aser Ba'asiyas Malacha, and at the second Devar Maskil in Yud Ches Amud Aleph, around five lines down, the second one in line is Vikasha. Tosfos asks on Rashi, you say this is an Isser D'Oraisa? That can't be. Kasha L'Rabbeinu Tam De'im Kain Davar Ha'Avid Ve'Kama Malachos De'Sharinan Hasam Heichi Mishtaru. How could Chol HaMoed have an Isser Malacha D'Oraisa if there are so many heterim here and there? V'chi heichen matzinu iser d'oraisa miktsaso aser umiktsaso mutter. How could it be if iser malacha of Chol HaMoed is d'oraisa, how could you have a heter of davar ha'avid? And all the various heterim that we learned in Moed Katan, how could that be? If this is an iser malacha, you don't have exceptions to isurei d'oraisa. There's no heter davar ha'avid on Shabbos. You could just violate Shabbos because it's gonna hurt you financially. There's no heterim for isurei d'oraisa. Tosfos says that itself is an indicator that this must be only an iser d'rabbanan. And that's why we find such exceptions. The Rashash in the back of the Gemara has a ha'ara on this question. He's not bothered by this question in particular, because look at Isser Malacha on Yontif. Everyone agrees that Isser Malacha on Yontif is a din d'oraisa, and still we have the heter of Ochel Nefesh. We all cook on Yontif for Ochel Nefesh purposes. So it's not such a problematic concept to have an Isser d'oraisa, which has exceptions here and there. Chol HaMoed may very well be an Isser d'oraisa. It's just that we have heterim, just like we find heterim by other Isurei D'Oraisa. But Tosfos feels bothered by this question. It's only an Isser D'Rabbanan. He also is backed by a Lashon in the Yerushalmi. It's only a lighter Isser than typical. And all the Psukim that we're going to quote, Tosfos sees the Gemara is going to quote several Psukim moving on, those are only Asmachtas. It's not a real Din D'Oraisa source in the Pasuk. It's a Din D'Rabbanan, which they then later found a remez to in the Torah itself. So that's Rashi thinks it's an Isser D'Oraisa, as well as the Sefer HaChinuch. Rabbeinu Tam and our Tosfos over here in Chagiga Yud Ches says that it is rather an Isser D'Rabbanan. For Tosfos, it's important to think back to the Shach Vatari we just had on the top of the Amud. We started talking about the Pasuk Chag HaAsif, right? How did we start talking about the Isser Chol HaMoed so far? We're talking about explaining a Pasuk, that the Pasuk says Chag HaAsif, and the Gemara is bothered. How could the Pasuk be referring to literal Asifa, doing Asifa on Yontif itself, if it's Aser to do Malacha on Yontif, and it can't be referring to Chol HaMoed either, because it's Aser to do Malacha on Chol HaMoed? But we're trying to explain a Pasuk. So for Tosfos, who says that the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, why is the Gemara so bothered that how could the Pasuk refer to doing a Malacha on Chol HaMoed? That should be totally fine for Tosfos. But Rashi, yeah, the pasuk can't imply malacha on chol hamoed because the pasuk is a deraisa and it's iser malacha is deraisa. But for Tosfos, you can have the pasuk refer to doing malacha on chol hamoed. That's on a deraisa level, and on a derabanan level, that's the only situation in which there's a problem of doing malacha on chol hamoed. So how is Tosfos going to understand the Shakta Vatarya that we just read, that the Gemara was bothered? How could the pasuk refer to doing malacha on chol hamoed as a problem? If it's usher, so why is the Gemara assuming that's a problem? So the Minchas Chinuch answers this question based on a famous Taz. I don't usually call Mikoros famous because not famous is a very relative term. But the Taz, there's a sefer written all about this Taz, and it's called Hataz Hayadua. So I'm not the one calling it famous. There are other people who are calling this a famous Taz, even if we may not have personally heard of it ourselves. But the Taz has a Yisod, and he says that we know that the Rabbanan make exceptions to rules here and there. They have the flexibility in halacha that Chazal have. At the same time, Chazal are restricted that they cannot make a din which goes against a mefurish pasuk. If a pasuk says something mefurish, Chazal cannot say anything that's going to go against and erase that pasuk from the Torah. So for example, think about blowing shofar on Shabbos. So we know that the Chachamim said that you blow shofar during Rosh Hashanah, but you should not blow the shofar on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah because of Gzera of Hotzah. So how can Chazal do that? So Chazal can do that because they're not erasing the Pasuk from the Torah. The Pasuk says to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and we do blow shofar on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, the whole week. And next year we're also going to blow shofar. It's just one day on Shabbos we say don't blow, but the Pasuk still makes sense. The Pasuk is just referring to every other day. Right? Chazal couldn't say never blow shofar because the pasuk says explicitly we blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. So Chazal couldn't erase it completely, but they do have the ability to say we're not going to do it on this day as long as the pasuk is not being explicitly erased out of the Torah. And so now, based on that Taz, the Minchas Chinuch explains that's how Tosfos would explain our Gemara, that even though Isser Malacha and Chol HaMoed is only an Isser Derabanan, they can't go against a mefurish pasuk. And so if the pasuk says Chag HaAsif, which is referring to Chol HaMoed, so if a pasuk says explicitly, essentially, it's mefurish in a pasuk, that one can do malacha on Chol HaMoed, then the Chachamim would not have the ability to say that there's an Isser malacha on Chol HaMoed. You can't go against a mefurish pasuk. So that's how Tosfos would explain that Gemara, assuming that the pasuk is telling us there's an Isser malacha on Chol HaMoed. But still, Tosfos only holding that it's only an Isser derabanan. So again, it's a thuer machlokes. Rashi says it's an Isser deoraisa. Tosfos says it's an Isser derabanan. All the psukim are asmachta. And then the third shita is the Ramban. The Ramban says that it depends. There's an Isser molacha deoraisa on chol hamoed if there's no reason, if there's no tzorech hamoed, if there's no dever ha'aved, if there's no pressing circumstance, then there's an Isser molacha deoraisa. Everything beyond that, that Chazal made Asr mid the Rabbanan, that's only an Isser Malacha mid the Rabbanan. So like things like Maisa Omnus and other things that we've learned throughout Maseches Moed Katan of Malachos that are Asr, beyond a case of no Tzorech HaMoed and no Dever HaAvid, that those are all going to be Malachos mid the Rabbanan. So this is all summarized neatly in the Bir Halacha in the beginning of Simin Tuf Kuf Lamed. He goes and stacks all the Shitos, but whether it's a Din D'Oraisa, a Din D'Rabbanan, or perhaps as the Ramban says, a Peshara between the two, and of course a Nafkamina would be, if you have a Suffolk on Chol HaMoed and you're not sure, would you be Makel, would you be Machmir? That would depend on this three-way Machlokas we've shown in. So now let's get into the actual sources. So the Gemara now is going to quote five sources for the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, "Mechlal de Travayhu svir lehu de cholo shel moed aser ba'asiyas melacha." So clearly, Travayhu, both Rish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, clearly assume that there is an Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Minah Hanimili, how do we know?
How many lines down are we over here?
So we are now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11 or 12 or so? The first word.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the first word on the line is Ba'asiyas. Ba'asiyas Malacha.
Okay, good.
Minah Hanimili. So how do we know? Where's the marker in the Torah? So the Tanur Rabbanan. Es Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yamin. This pasuk is actually from this past week's parasha, Parshas Kisisa. The pasuk says, Chag HaMatzos Tishmor. Tishmor is a lashon of a lav, of holding oneself back from Malacha. Shivas Yamin. All 7 days. So all 7 days, how many days is Pesach? There are 2 days of Yontiv, and there's Chol HaMoed in between. But all seven have an Isser Malacha. Li made al Chol Shel Moed, she'aser ba'asiyas Malacha. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. As Rabbi Yoshia, Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yamin tells me an Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Rav Yonasan Omer, Eino Tzarech, you don't need a Pasuk. Kal V'Chomer. There's a Kal V'chomer that tells me that there's an Isra Malach on Chol HaMoed. Uma Rishon V'Shvi'i She'ein Kiddusho Lefneim U'la'achareyen Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha Chol HaShomoed She'yesh Kiddusho Lefneim U'la'achareyen Eino Din She'yehei Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha. So we know there's an Isra Malacha on the first day of the Chag and on the last day of the Chag. So Kal V'chomer, the days in between, have an Isra Malacha. Because when you have a group of days which are sandwiched between 2 days of Kedusha, so Chol HaMoed has a day of Kedusha before it, the first day of Yontif, and a day of Kedusha after it, which is the second day of Yontif. If you have a group of days which are sandwiched between 2 days of Kedusha, then Kal V'chomer, there's an Isra Malacha on those days as well. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? Sheshes Mei Breishis Yochichu. Who says that just because a group of days is sandwiched between a day of Kedusha before it and a day of Kedusha after it, that therefore there's an Isser Melacha? What about the 6 days of the week? Right, every week is followed by a Shabbos and is preceded by a Shabbos. Right, so right now we're at Sunday. We just had Shabbos yesterday, and at the end of the week we're going to have the next Shabbos. So every 6 days of the week are sandwiched between 2 days of Kedusha, and we don't have an Isser Melacha every single day of our lives, every single day of the year. So how clearly being sandwiched between 2 days of Kedusha is not a reason to say that there's going to be an Isser Melacha. The Gemara says, well, we still could have a good Kal V'chomer. Ma'ala sheshes mei breishis she'ein bahen karban musaf. Tomer b'chol shel moed sheish bo karban musaf. So we say, fine, forget the fact that a Chol HaMoed is a day of Kedusha before it and a day of Kedusha after it. Rather, what's the reason that a Chol HaMoed is going to have an Isra Malacha? Because it has a karban musaf. Right, we daven musaf on Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed has a carbon musaf that's brought along with it every single day. And so that carbon musaf is an indicator that there is an Isra Malacha. The Gemara says, wait, is that true? Whenever we have a carbon musaf, there's an Isra Malacha? What about Rosh Chodesh Yochichu? Rosh Chodesh Yochiach. Sheyesh bo carbon musaf. Umotar ba'asiyas Malacha. Rosh Chodesh has a carbon musaf, right? We also daven musaf on Rosh Chodesh. And still, there's no Isra Malacha on Rosh Chodesh. So clearly, Karban Musaf can't be an indicator on its own that there's an Isra Malacha. So Gemara asks, or the Gemara says, no, we still have a Kal V'chomer. Mal Rosh Chodesh she'ein karui mikra kodesh. Tomer b'chol shel moed she'karui mikra kodesh. You can't compare because Rosh Chodesh isn't referred to in the Pesukim as mikra kodesh. Chol HaMoed is referred to as Mikra Kodesh, and Ho'olu Kari Mikra Kodesh Dinhu She'asir Ba'asiyas Melacha. So we say, fine, forget the fact that Yontif is, that Chol HaMoed is sandwiched between 2 days of Kedusha, forget the fact that it has a Karban Musaf, and rather, it's just because the Pasuk refers to it as Mikra Kodesh. Tosos on the very bottom, that very last line, say that really the Gemara could have given a different answer. The Gemara could have said, all right, so we had three different indicators that maybe Chol HaMoed should be Aser in Malacha. First, we said it has to be sandwiched between 2 days of Kedusha. Then we said it has to have a Karban Musaf. And both of those we didn't like because we had a counter example. For Shabbat, the 6 days of the week have Kedusha before it and after it, and still it's Mutter. And Karban Musaf, that can't be because Rosh Chodesh has a Musaf and there's still no Aser Malacha. So this points out, the Gemara could have just stopped there and said, you need to have both one and two, right? Whenever you have both a day of Kedusha before and after, and the Karban Musaf. So maybe if you have both indicators, one and two, then that would be enough to tell us that you need to have, that there's going to be an Isra Malacha. And none of the counter examples, the 6 days of the week and Rosh Chodesh, none of those can argue with that. So it says, Havamatzi lemeimar malachol amoe de'igatarti musaf v'kedusha lefanav la'achrav. So that would have been another way of explaining the Isra Malacha for Chol HaMoed, but instead the Gemara says that it's rather this third indicator that the Pasuk gets to describe it as Mikra Kodesh, and that's what tells me that there's going to be an Isra Malacha. We also mentioned tangentially that Rosh Chodesh does not have an Isra Malacha. It's interesting if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tav Yud Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch discusses a potential Isra Malacha on Rosh Chodesh itself. There's a minhag that women do not do malacha on Rosh Chodesh, which is actually very relevant in Yom HaDiyoma as well. Why is there a minhag amongst some that women don't do malacha on Chol HaMoed, on Rosh Chodesh rather? It's based on Parshas Kizizah, the Chet HaEgel. since women were not actively involved in the Chet HaEgel, so the Medrash says as a reward, they were given Rosh Chodesh. For whatever reason, Rosh Chodesh is the present that they received. That's what the women get as schar for not being involved in the Chet HaEgel. So there's some minhag out there for women to not do a malacha on Chalamot, on Rosh Chodesh. It's not clear exactly which malachos fall into that, or if that's a minhag worth taking on if you don't already have that minhag. I don't know how common that minhag is. But Tosfos already points out in the second to last Tosfos, Rosh Chodesh Shochiach, he points out that that's not going to be, that's not contradictory to our Gemara. When our Gemara says Rosh Chodesh does not have any Isser Malacha, that's referring to any halachic Isser Malacha. It's not bothered by the fact that there may be a minhag for Nashim to not do Malacha on Rosh Chodesh, but that's still, in the Gemara's eyes, Rosh Chodesh is not referred to as a day which has an Isser Malacha. So far we have two sources. We're going to have five. We have two so far for the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. First we had Rav Yoshia, who quotes the Pasuk as Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yomim. And the quote of Yonasan was a Kavachomer, which is all based on the Pasuk describing it as Mikra Kodesh. The Gemara goes on and says, Tanya Idach, a third Makar, Kol Malechas Avoda Lo Sasu. The Pasuk says, do not do Malacha. Our Gemara doesn't quote it, but the next Pasuk, Rashi points out, the next Pasuk says Shivas Yamim. So if you read the Pasukim, if you just read straight through, you ignore the period at the end of the first Pasuk, you just read straight through, it reads, Kol Malechas Avoda Lo Sasu Shivas Yamim. And so again, similarly, it's referring to an Isser Malacha for 7 days, all days of Yontif, not just the first and last days of Yontif, but all 7 days. That's the third source for Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed of Kol Nechas Avoda Lo Sasu Shivas Yamim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, a fourth source, Eino Tzarech. You don't need that pasuk. Harehu Omer, Eile Moedei Hashem. The Gomer, the pasuk goes on, Eile Moedei Hashem, and it also refers to it as a Mikra Kodesh. So the Me'akas of Medaber, what's this pasuk referring to when it says Eile Moedei Hashem? Is it referring to the actual Yontif itself? In Berishon, if it's referring to the first day of Yontif, Harek Varnemar Shabbason. The pasuk already describes the first day as Shabbason, which tells us there's an Isser Malacha for the first day. And if it's referring to the last day of the Chag, but the Pasuk also describes the last day as Shabbason, which tells us in Isser Malacha on the last day as well. So what's Eile Moed Hashem referring to? That there's an Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed. So that's a fourth source. We have the first makor is Chag HaMatzos Tishmor Shivas Yamim. The second was the Kal Vachomer, based on Mikra Kodesh. The third was Eile Moade, was Kol Nechas Avoda Lo Sasu. And the fourth was Eile Moade Hashem. Quoting all these sources, it's interesting to think, what's the difference? Is there a nafkamina between all these different sources? So quickly, there's an interesting idea from the Minchas Chinuch. He says that perhaps the nafkamina so far would be the onesh you get. The first pasuk we quoted was Chag HaMatzos Tishmor. Tishmor is a lashon of lav, which would imply that it's going to be an Isser Malkos. If it's a Kal Vachomer, so we know there's a klal, Ein Onesh Min Adin. So there will be no onesh if it's a limp from a Kal Vachomer. The third source was Kol Nechas Avoda Lo Sasu, was also a lav. The fourth was Eile Moed Hashem, perhaps an Aseh, and for violating an Isser Aseh, you don't get Malkos either. Perhaps you bring a carbon. So perhaps the onesh would be the nafkamin between all these different sources that we're bringing. But now we're going to bring the fifth source. Tanya Idach. Sheshes Yomim Tochal Matzos Obiyom Hashvi Atzeres LaHashem. The pasuk describes, for 6 days you eat matzah, on the seventh day, Atzeres LaHashem. So what does that mean? Atzeres? Atzeres implies holding yourself back from malacha. So the Gemara darshins, Ma Shvi'i Atzor Af Sheshes Yomim Atzurin. Just like the seventh day you hold back from malacha, so too all six prior days, atzurin, you do not violate malacha. Again, all 6 days, even the days of Chol HaMoed, there's an Isser malacha. Maybe just like the last day of the Chag has an Isser, you can't do any malacha, so too for those 6 days you can't do any malacha, and so Chol HaMoed has an Isser malacha, just like Shabbos and just like Yontif. Tamud Omar, uvayom HaShvi'i atzeres. Hashvi'i atzur b'chol malacha, ve'ein shisha yamim atzurin b'chol malacha. During the seventh day, and also the first day of the Chag as well, you can't do any malacha, but for the 6 days prior of Chol HaMoed, you're not atzurin b'chol malacha. Halo masron hakasuv ela lechachamim. The pasuk has given the chachamim the ability to make these decisions. Lo malacha to tell you eze yom asur ve'eze yom mutter, eze malacha asura, eze malacha muteres. Chazal get to decide on the details of which malachos are included and which malachos are not going to be included. But the pasuk is what tells us that's going to be an iser milacha. So the double lashon Rashi points out, the double lashon of eze yom aser, eze yom mutter, is referring to the fact that the chachamim decide al pi kiddush ha-re'iyah which day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, and that decides what day is going to be Pesach or Shavuos or Sukkot. So they get to decide essentially which day becomes the day of Yontif. But they also decide eze malacha asura, eze malacha muteres. Like we learned, a heter of Dever Ha'aved on Chol HaMoed, that's the Chachamim have the ability to make the decision about which malachos are going to be included and which malachos are going to be excluded. So this concept for Tosfos, who holds that there's an Isser Malacha of Chol HaMoed is only an Isser Derabanan, this makes a lot of sense, right? Because the Psukim, we have Psukim in the Torah but that seem to be sources, but Tosfos would say that those are all just Asmachtas. And this, the fact that the Chachamim get to decide which malachos are Atar and which are Mutter, that would make sense also because this is all an Isser Derabanan. But for Rashi, you have a fascinating concept that for an Isser De'oraisa, the Torah said that is an Isser, yet still the Chachamim have the ability to call the shots and set the details of that Isser De'oraisa, and to say that these things are Usser and these things are Mutter. There are a whole bunch of examples of Lamasan Akasa of Elul Chachamim, of other examples throughout Shas. Rav Asher Weiss has a piece in Milchas Asher in Chelek Dvarim, where he goes through, I don't know, like 10 or so different places throughout Shas and Halacha, when Chazal have the ability to decide on the details. One of those is from Inui and Yom Kippur, that we know that the pasuk says V'inisem es nafsho seichem, you have to have some sort of Inui suffering on Yom Kippur. It doesn't give us any details per se, not all the details. And the Ran and Yuma says that the Chachamim get to decide what falls into the category of Inui. It's going to be Achila and Shtia and Sicha Rechitza. All the details are what Chazal got to set up and make the decisions on what is included and what's not going to be included. So similarly over here, for Rashi, Isser Malacha and Chol HaMoed is Asur Midoraisa. But still, at the same time, the Chachamim are the ones who are able to decide which are going to be Asur and which are going to be Mutter. The Chachamim have the ability to set up the details of an Isser Doraisa. So those are our five sources for the Isser Malacha and Chol HaMoed. And now the Gemara turns to go back to our Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Are there any questions before we keep going?
You're doing a great job.
Thanks. questions are compliments when we buzz. So Yud Zayin Amud Aleph on the Mishnah on Yud Zayin, the last thing the Mishnah spoke about was bringing karbanos on Shabbos. If Shavuos falls on Shabbos, you can't bring the karban on Shabbos itself, because us would do that on Shabbos, of course. So you bring it the next day. So if Shavuos is on Shabbos, you bring the karbanos on Sunday. The problem is that the tzidukim hold that Shavuos always falls out on Sunday, right? They take the Torah too literally, more than they should, and based on the literal translation of the psukim, they say that Shavuos is always on Sunday. So if Shavuos would fall on, if Vav Sivan's on Wednesday or Thursday, they still say keep it on Sunday. So now we're in a weird predicament, because we're going to say, bring all your Shavuos karbanos on Sunday, even though Shabbos is really Vav Sivan, bring them all on the next day. But it's a little strange, because it's going to look like we're giving credence to the opinion of the Tzidukim. So therefore we say, bring the karbanos on that Sunday, but be careful, don't provide too much Kedusha to that day. There's not going to be an Isser of Hesped V'tainis, because you don't want to give up the impression that this is a day of Kedusha. So the Gemara now quotes that Mishnah, Umutarim behesped v'tainis, shelo l'kayem es divrei ha'omrim atzeres achar ha-shabbos, to not give credence to the tzidukim who say that atzeres is always achar ha-shabbos. So the Gemara asks, v'ha'itmar maisa umeis alexa bilud. There was a guy, Alexa, I guess Alexa is a male name, in the times of the Gemara, there's a guy named Alexa, and he died in Lud. V'nichnasu kol Yisrael l'softo, and everyone came to eulogize him. But lo hinicham Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon did not let them give a eulogy. Why? Mepnei she yom tov shel atzeres haya. Because it was Shavuos. You can't give a hesped on Shavuos. Gemara asks, yom tov sakad aitach? Was it actually Shavuos itself? Ibi yom tov mika asu. Who's coming to a eulogy on Shavuos? Everyone knows you can't do hespedim on Shavuos itself. Ella must be eimel mepnei she yom tavuach haya. It wasn't Shavuos, but it was the day after Shavuos when they were still bringing in the karbanos. Right, Shavuos, there are a lot of things to do on Shavuos, a lot of karbanos to bring, and it's only one day, unlike the other chagim. Only have one day to bring all your karbanos. It's very possible you're going to bring the karbanos on the following day. There's going to be some overflow to have a Yom Tavuach, a day of bringing karbanos, even the day after Shavuos. So that's what Rabbi Tarfon was saying, to go, don't give a hesped. So now that seems to be a problem with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, the Yom Tavuach, the day after Shavuos, when you're bringing your karbanos, it's mutter a hesped of a tainus. And yet still, Rabbi Tarfon was saying that you should not, he was saying, lo hi nicham, he didn't let them give a hesped, so why not? According to our Mishnah, it's mutter. So the Gemara says, "Lokasha kan b'yomtov shachalios achar haShabbos, kan b'yomtov shachalios b'Shabbos." Right. So our Mishnah is only talking about yomtov shachalios b'Shabbos. When Shavuos is on Shabbos and you're bringing your karbanos on Sunday, so then we say, "Be careful! Don't give, don't do, or you can your matir hespedim on that Sunday because you don't want to give credence to the tzidukim." But the case of Rabbi Tarfon was on Yontif, Shavuos fell out on a Monday or a Tuesday. So you couldn't bring your karbanos on Shavuos on Tuesday, so instead bring them on Wednesday. But there's no problem of giving too much kedusha, or the implication that Shavuos is really on Wednesday, right? The problem's only on a Sunday, when Sunday is the day after Shavuos. So in the case of Rabbi Tarfon, there was no problem of being oser hespedim for the day after Shavuos, right? And so this whole idea of, right, our Mishnah says that if Shavuos is on Shabbos, that's the exception, then you're allowed to have a spadim and tainus the day after Shavuos. But the status quo, seemingly the Gemara assumes, and Rabbi Tarfon assumed, if Shavuos falls on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then the day after Shavuos, there's generally going to be an Isser Hesped of tainus, which is the concept of Isrukag, which we are all familiar with, and not saying Tachanun the day after Shavuos because it's Isrukag. So similarly, the Shulchan Aruch says by Shavuos, the day after Shavuos, you don't do Hesped V'tainis typically, except for the exception which our Mishnah said, when Shavuos is on Sunday and the day after is on, when Shavuos is on Shabbos and the day after is going to be on Sunday, then you're allowed to do Hesped V'tainis, but status quo is that it's Isrukag and there's going to be an Isser to do Hesped V'tainis the day after any Chag. So now we turn to Yerches Med Beis, a brand new Mishnah, which is also, as we said, a brand new, really turning the page in our Masechta, to what the last portion of our Masechta, Chagiga, is going to talk about, which is in Yonei, Tilma V'Taira. It seems a little random now, but Rashi points out this is because eventually the Gemara is going to want to say some inyanim about Tumah and Taira that relate to the Chagiga and the Regel specifically. So as an introduction, I think that's in a while, like Daf Chav Vav or so, eventually the Gemara is going to get into Chagiga specific in Yanei Tumah V'Taira, but for now the Gemara all the way back here in Yud Ches already says let's start talking about Tumah and Taira, and even in a broad general sense it isn't directly related to Chagiga. If you would look at the way that the Prakim are organized, this Mishnah should probably be in the third parak. That's where we're really going to start talking about Tumah and Taira, and this has nothing to do with the previous Mishnayos in the parak. But the Teferis Yisrael says, interestingly, they instead of putting this at the beginning of the third parak, they made it the end of the second parak, because what was the prior Mishnah? The prior Mishnah just ended off talking about the Tzidukim. And what the Tzidukim hold that Shavuos is after is always on Sunday. So instead of ending off a parak, Mishnayos talking about Tzidukim, so they instead stuffed these Inyanim Tumah V'Taira over here, even though it's really more of a third parak discussion. But it's going to be a discussion for the rest of the Masechta of Tumah and Taira, and eventually going to get to how it relates to the time of year of the Regalim, when the Korban Chagiga is going to be brought. So, just some general background of Tumah and Taira, that we know that something is an Avi Avos HaToma is a source of Toma, like a mace is an Avi Avos HaToma. An Ava Toma is when that touches that, and then a Rishon is that touched an Ava Toma, and a Sheni that touched a Rishon, etc., etc. Those different Madrigos. There's a Toma Midurabanan as well. So there are Tumos Deoraisa based on the Psukim, but the Rabanan also made some things Tameh as well. So for example, Yadayim, the Rabanan, Chazal or Metakein, that hands, Stam Yadayim, are assumed to be Tamei Midurabanan. That therefore, you shouldn't touch your Truma before you wash your hands, because your hands are considered Tamei. Because maybe you don't know, your hands moved around and you touched something you don't remember having touched something that's Tamei. So therefore, Chazal say that our hands are always considered Tamei, you have to always wash them. And we're going to get to, later on in the daf, how this relates to our Netilas Yadayim, which we do for bread, every day, actually, Bizman Hazeh. So we'll get to that also. But starting off, the Mishnah is talking about washing your hands for various enyan. So notlin le yadayim, le chulin u le maiser u le truma. If you want to eat chulin, or Meiser is referring to Meiser Sheni. So any Jew who wants to just eat his Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, ooh, the Truma. Or if a Kohen is going to be eating his Truma, so then the Mishnah said, Notlin Yadayim, you have to wash your hands. Notlin means you take a cup, and you fill up that cup with a ravias of water, and you just wash your hands with the cup. But the Mishnah says, Ule Kodesh Matbilin. If you want to eat Kachim, if you want to eat a Karban, so that's if a Yisrael wants to eat his Karban Shlamim, or if a Kohen wants to eat any of the various Karbanos that Kohanim eats, then it's not enough to do Netila, but you have to be Matbil. You have to do tvila, right? Tvila is to go into a mikvah. You have to put not your whole body, but your hands. You have to be matbil your hands. You dip your hands into a mikvah of arbaimsa, right? So usually we assume if my hands tame, then my foot's tame, and my arm, like my whole body's tame if my hands. There's no tuma for a finger that doesn't apply to the rest of my body. My whole body is one guf. You have to be dovel your whole body in a mikvah. But for the tuma derabanan, when Chazal were metaking, there's a tuma on your hands, mi derabanan, one of the chidushim that the Chazal included in that takana was that only your hands are tame and not the rest of your body. So therefore, for chulin, maiser, and truma, you have to wash your hands with a revius of water and a kli. For kodesh, for karbanos, you have to be matbil yiridayim. For those who just joined, we're on the Mishnah on Yilchesem Adbeis. A great time to join. We just started the Mishnah on Yilchesem Adbeis. For if you want to eat karbanos, you have to be matbil yiridayim. Dip your hands into a mikvah. Ulechatas, which is, Rashi is actually referring to the mechatas. The mechatas, which is also in another yoma. If we had shul, we would have just read Parshas Parah. Parshas Parah talks about the Parah Aduma. If someone is Tamei Meis, then you take the afer, the ashes of the Parah Aduma, and you mix it into water, and this Afer Parah Aduma mixture is sprinkled onto the person who's Tameh, and that makes them Tahor. So that's the Mechatas. So that has an even higher level of Kedusha. It's not enough to do Netila on your hands, not enough to do Tevila, to dip your hands in a mikvah. Rather, Im Nitme'u Yadav, Nitme Gufo. If your hands are considered Tameh, Nitme Gufo, your whole body is considered Tameh. Your whole body has to go into a mikvah. So as opposed to, so there's a hierarchy here. Based on what the level of Kedusha of the thing you're going to eat. If the lowest level of Kedusha, if you're going to eat Chulin, or Meiser Sheni, or Truma, then for that category, note that you have to wash your hands. For a higher up level of Kedusha, like Karbanos, for Kodesh, you have to be Matbil and put your hands in a mikvah. Or the Chatas, for the Mechatas, the highest level of Kedusha, so then in Nitme'u Yadav, Nitme Gufo, you have to put your whole body in a mikvah. You have to do regular Tvila in a mikvah of Arbaimsa. That's the first section of this Mishnah. The Mishnah then goes on to say two more sections to this Mishnah about two different chumras that Chazal had by Tumah as well. Chazal are very careful about eating inyanei taira bitumah, to eat truma and karbanos and in a status of tumah, and so therefore there are several chumros which Chazal were metaking. So we're now going to read Tava Lechulin, Hochsak Lechulin, Aser Lemaiser. The Mishnah now says that you have to actually have kavana of what you're being tova for. So you have to go into the mikvah and say, I'm going into a mikvah because I want to be able to eat my truma or my kachim. You have to specifically have in mind that if I only had in mind to go to the mikvah Lechulin, so I say, Tava Lechulin, Hochsak Lechulin. Rashi says that the word Hochsak is a lashon of Kavana. If my Kavana was only for Chulin, then Aser LeMaiser. I'm not considered pure for the sake of eating Maiser Sheni. I have to go in again and be Tovel for Maiser Sheni. Tava LeMaiser Sheni, Tava LeMaiser, Hochsak LeMaiser, Aser LeTruma. And if I had in my Maiser Sheni, then that's not going to make me Tahor in order to eat my Truma. And as you can assume, the rest of the Madrigos follow similarly. Tava LeTruma, Hochsak LeTruma, Aser LeKodesh. Tova lekodesh, hochzak lekodesh, aser lechatas. Right, and the general klal that Mishnah summarizes for us is, however, tova lechamor, mutter lekal. If you were tovel for mechatas, which is the highest category of kedusha that's needed for the mechatas, so that's going to be a good. That kavana is going to allow me to be considered tahor for everything that's a lower level of kedusha. So kavana for mechatas. When I go into the mikvah, and then I say I want to eat my Meiser Sheni, I want to eat my Truma, that's going to be okay. The only problem is if you have Kavana for a lower level of Kedusha, I'm going into the mikvah to become Tahor to eat my Meiser Sheni, so then that's not going to make me Tahor for my Mechatas, which is a high level of Kedusha. And also, Taval v'lo hoksak, if you had no Kavana, ke'ilu lo Taval, it's as if you were not Tovel at all. You always need to have Kavana when you're going to the mikvah. And this is presumably a din by Tumah and Taira. I don't think Nashim have to have the kavana of what they're going to the mikvah for Nida, but for at least for Tumah and Taira, Chazal have this extra chumrah, you have to have kavana of what the reason is that you're going to the mikvah. It doesn't just work because you went into a memsa that now you're magically Tahor. You have to have the proper intentions in mind. Mishnah goes on, Bigdayama Aretz, Midras Leprushin. Midras is a lashon borrowed from Zavim, which really just means that these clothes are considered tamei, and they can make things tamei. Just like a zav can make his clothes tamei by sitting on them, so too, any of these people, their clothes may be tamei, and you have to be concerned that you may become tamei by touching them. So Bigdei Ama Aretz, Midras Leprushin. Ama Aretz is a person who doesn't care about avoiding tumah. And Prushin is someone who's just they're a good Jew, and they want to stay tahor. They want to eat their chulin b'tahara. So someone who's makbid to not become tahor, to not become tameh, who's a parush, they have to be careful. They have to treat the big day Ama Aretz as midras, as the clothing of the Ama Aretz, as the ability to make them tameh. And the next level, big day Prushin, midras la'ochle truma. Right, the Kohanim who have to eat truma, they're super careful to avoid tuma. So for them, they have a higher level of shmira, of making sure that they don't become tame. So even though you're a parish and you say that you're careful not to become tame, when a Kohen sees you on the street, he's not going to touch your clothes either because he doesn't think that you're being careful enough. So the mashal, or lahavdil, is trying to avoid coronavirus mishalim, couldn't hold back on this one. Let's say you have someone who says they don't care about the germs. They're an amaret. They don't care about germs. They're not washing their hands. They're not purelling, not doing anything. So for them, if you're a parish, if you care about avoiding germs, then you should not touch their clothes. But even if you're a parish and you say, I wash my hands and I purell and I'm so careful to not go outside. So even if you're a parish and you think that you're super careful, but someone who's like an ochle truma, think of someone who's like immunocompromised, or like the elderly who have like a higher sensitivity to the virus. So then you're washing your hands. You think that you're so clean that you're avoiding germs, but like you're not, that they're going above and beyond and they're wearing masks and they're wearing gloves and they're taking it to a whole nother level. So for them, they have a heightened sensitivity for the virus. And so therefore they're even more careful. So lahavdil over here, the nimshal being over here, that when it comes to tumah, so the Ama Aretz doesn't care at all. The parish says, I do care. But the Ochle Truma say to the Ama Aretz, I know you say that you care, but you don't have to eat Truma. The Ochle Truma, the Kohanim, are even more careful, that they're even more careful not to become Tameh. And so their Begadim, even a Begadim of a Parush who says that he is careful not to become Tameh, the Ochle Truma are still careful for them. And of course, the Madrigos go on and on in a similar fashion as the previous part of the Mishnah. That big day Ochle Truma, even the clones of a Kohanim, are Midras L'Kodesh. If a Kohen wants to eat Karbanos, and he is that position, and he eats Kodesh, he has to be careful not to even touch the clothes of an Ochle Truma, because maybe those clothes are Tameh. And big day Kodesh, Midras L'Chatas. The clothes of someone who eats a Karban is considered Tameh for someone who wants to touch the Mechatas, because they have an even heightened level of sensitivity. So the Mechatas is the most careful. He has the highest level of Shmira, and therefore anyone else's clothing is going to be considered Tameh for the person who's going to be touching the Mechatas. And the Mishnah concludes, it doesn't matter how frum you are. It's all based on these categories. So Yosef ben Yoezer, haya chasid shebe kohuna. You have this Kohen, Yosef ben Yoezer, who's a chasid shebe kohuna. He's the most pious of all the Kohanim. But still, Haisa Mitpachto, Midras Lakodesh. Still, he's an Ochle Truma, and so his clothing are going to be Tame or Mitame, someone who is an Ochle, who's eating Kodesh, who's eating Karbanos, and Yochanan ben Gudguda. Haya Ochel al Tairasa Kodesh, he would eat Karbanos, and call Yamav, and still Haisa Mitpachto, Midras Lakatas. Still, his Begadim would make the someone who wants to touch Mechatas Tame. So those are the three different sections of our Mishnah. First, talking about washing your hands versus dipping your hands versus going your whole body in a mikvah. Second, about the kavana one needs to have before going to the mikvah. And thirdly, about the clothes of an Ama Aretz or anyone who's in a lower madriga than you are, their clothes are going to make you tameh. So the Gemara now returns to the very first point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Notlin liyadayim l'chulin ulamaiser. If you want to eat chulin, right, it says no kedusha whatsoever, and you want to eat Meiser Sheni, then you need to wash your hands, says our Mishnah. The Gemara asks, is that true? Chulin u Meiser, mi bo netilas yadayim? Do you need to wash your hands for Chulin and Meiser? Or a mini? It says the following in the Mishnah and Bikurim. It says, Hatruma the Habikurim. For both Truma and Bikurim, the Mishnah is going to go on now to list a whole bunch of halachos about Truma. Rashi points out, Bikurim is kind of just piggybacked on top of this because the pasuk describes Bikurim as Trumas Yadcha. So Bikurim and Truma have the same halachos. And so all these halachas are true for both truma and bikurin. Chayav in aleya and misa. You're chayav misa if you ate them on purpose. If you're a non-kohen and you ate truma, then you're going to be chayav misa if you ate it on purpose. Let's say you ate it b'shog, if you ate it by accident, then v'chomesh, you're chayav to pay a chomesh. Right, so if I ate a kohen's truma that costs $20 by accident, so I don't only owe him a $20, but I also owe him an additional chomesh on top of that, which means a fifth, but it's really calculated as a fourth. So if I ate $20 worth of truma, I'd have to pay him back an extra $5 on top of that. That's the chomesh trichai for truma and bikurim. The also the zarim is also an iser lav for zarim, for a non-kohen. The hay nichsei kohen, it's also considered the possessions of the kohen. Rashi says he can be mekadesh a woman with his truma, because it's considered his, and he can buy things, he can buy avadim and karka with the truma, because it's considered his possession. And the olin be'echaru meya. Right, so we are familiar with the concept of bittul. We typically think of bittul as bittul b'shishim, that if I have one drop of iser that falls into 60 drops of heter, then that iser is bittul. The halacha, however, by truma is not 1 in 60, but it's 1 in 100. So if I'm a non-kohen and I walk around with my basket of apples and I have 100 apples, and then a kohen drops one truma apple inside, so then that's going to be bittul in the 100, 1 in 100. Or as our Gemara says, olin be'echad umeya, and if it's all together, 101, then truma and bikurim are going to be bittul. Those are all various halachos, but what's important for us is this next one, te'unin netilas yadayim, that truma and bikurim require netilas yadayim beforehand. V'harav shemesh, that if you became tamei, and so you go to a mikvah, you can't just go right after the mikvah and eat your truma, you have to wait until shkia, until harav shemesh, until nightfall. Only after that can you eat your truma or bikurim. Hare elu b'truma bikurim. These are all halachos that relate to truma and bikurim. Masha'en came b'maiser, but not by maiser. V'kol shekein b'chulin. So by Meiser and Chulin, none of these rules apply. And so Rashi actually goes through, you can go through every single rule and say, oh, that's not true by Meiser. There's no Isser, there's no Chiyav Misa, Meiser Sheni, you're allowed to eat Meiser Sheni, it's Mutter. There's no Chiyav Misa, you don't pay a Chomesh, there's no Isser. It's not considered your Nechasim, you can't be Mekadesh a woman with it. It's not Bathel in 100 like Truma is, and doesn't need Harif Shemesh. But also, importantly for us, Te'unin Etilas Yadayim, you have to wash your hands for Truma and Bikurim, but you don't have to for Meiser. And Kol Shekein Bechulin. So the Gemara says, Kasha Maiser a Maiser, Kasha Chulin a Chulin. We have two questions. Both Maiser and Chulin, our Mishnah says you need to do Netila, and yet the Mishnah on Bikurim, which we just quoted, the Raminhi says that there's no Chiyuv to do Netila Sedayim before Maiser or Chulin. How are we going to answer this, Dira? The Gemara says we have two questions. Really, one of them is easier to handle. The Gemara says, Bishlama Maiser a Maiser, Lo Kasha Harabimeyer v'Harabana. You can easily explain the machlokes, or the contradiction about Maiser, whether it needs Netila or does not need Netila, based on fitting it into a machlokes, Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Based on the following Mishnah, this Mishnah is a Mishnah in Para. The Mishnah says, Ditnan, Kol ha-ta'un bias mayim midivrei sofrim, anything that requires Tvila midi Rabbanan, meaning there are various, as we said earlier, there are tumas typically than the Raisa, but there are various tumos which are only tuma midirabanan. So any of those tumos that are midirve sofrim, the midirabanan, metame es hakodesh, uposel es hatruma. So what's metame versus posel? So the lashon in Taros, when Chazal say metame, that means it makes the kodesh tame. If I touch a karban, my hands are tame, right? Hands are an example of tuma midirabanan. So if my hands are tame, I'm metame kodesh. Metame means that I made the kodesh tame, and it also has the ability to make something else tame down the line. But posel as a truma, posel means the truma itself becomes tame, it becomes impure, but it does not have the ability to make other things tame. Posel means that this is the end of the line. The truma is not going to be able to be passed along from the truma to something else. So if your hands are tame, or right, something that's tame midirabanan, for example, yadayim are tame midirabanan, it's metame kodesh, it's posel truma, umutter lechulin ulamaiser. There's no problem to handle your chulin and maiser if you have a tumah midrabanan like yadayim. If your hands are tumah midrabanan, it's totally mutter. There's no requirement to wash your hands for chulin or maiser. Divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir is the mekel. Chachamim osrim b'maiser, and chachamim say that no, by maiser it's aser. So far we have the answer to our first question. As we said, there's no question about maiser a maiser. Harib Meir the harabanan. Our Mishnah, which says that you have to wash your hands for maiser, that's talking about, that's the shita of the rabbanan. The rabbanan are oser by maiser. And the Mishnah in Paro, which says that you don't have to wash your hands by Meiser, that's going to go like Rabbi Meir, who is Makel by Meiser. But the Gemara says, but still, we had a second question, and that's unanswered. El achulin, achulin, kasha. That's still a question about why does our Mishnah say that you have to wash your hands before you eat chulin, and yet it does not seem that there's any shita out there who says you have to wash your hands before eating chulin. So Gemara says, lo kasha, kan ba achila, kan ba negia. Our Mishnah is talking about eating chulin. If you want to eat chulin, then you need to wash your hands beforehand. But kan ba negia, when a mayor and a chachamim both say that you don't have to wash your hands, that's talking about negia. To touch, to handle chulin, you don't have to wash. But our Mishnah is saying you need to wash, that's talking about eating. The Gemara doesn't like that answer either. That can't be. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanon alei Rabbi Meir. When is there a machlokes? Ela ba'achila de meizer. There's only a machlokes, meaning the rabbanon are only machmir to require netilas yadayim for achila de meizer. Ava benegia de meizer, touching meizer, or what's important for us, ba'achila de chulin lo pligi. Everyone agrees you do not need to wash before you eat chulin. So both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yos and the Chachamim hold that there's no requirement to do netilas yadayim before eating chulin. So how could our Mishnah say that not netilas the chulin, that you must wash your hands before eating chulin, if it does not fit into any of the shittos, neither Rabbi Meir or the Rabbanon? So the Gemara answers, ela idi ve'idi ba'achila, rather it's all talking about achila, eating bread, eating chulin. Below kasha, kan ba'achila de nahama, kan ba'achila de peire. When our Mishnah says you need to wash your hands before you eat chulin, that's talking about eating bread, eating nahama. But when it says that it's mutter and everyone agrees you don't need to wash your hands before eating chulin, that's talking about eating peiros. Right, so achila de nahama, so now the light bulb flashes in our head and we think, okay, eating bread, washing hands, this sounds very familiar. Right, we have a chiyuv netilas yadayim bezman hazeh for washing our hands before we eat, even just chulin. It's not maaser, it's not truma, it's just stam, a sandwich, you have to wash your hands. And so the Mishnah Berurah says that there are two reasons why we wash our hands bezman hazeh netilas yadayim before we eat bread, which is chulin, and one is based on this Gemara, a combination of this Gemara and Chagiga Yerchesem Ebez of washing your hands leyadayim lechulin, as well as the Gemara and chulin kuf vav says that it's a problem. The reason why you have to wash your hands for chulin is mishum srach truma. That maybe if the Kohanim touch truma all day, they're going to eat their truma all day, they have to wash their hands before they eat truma. And so we basically say to the Kohanim, wash your hands before you eat anything. Because this way, they'll always be sure to wash their hands before they eat anything. And they're never going to stumble and make a mistake and eat truma without washing their hands. And so that takana was extended not only for truma, but for all chulin. And not only for the Kohanim, but for everybody. And not only bezman beis hamikdash, but even bezman hazeh, when there's no beis hamikdash, we still have this takana of washing our hands for netilas yadayim. That's one reason the Mishnah Berurah says we wash netilas yadayim, and the second is based on a Gemara and Brachos, which actually is quoted in Tosfos to be Matzchil Hanot Yad of the Perus. The Gemara and Brachos Mem Gimel Amid Aleph says that it's Mishum Nikius. There's just a general dina of cleanliness and purity to washing your hands, and that's the second reason why we wash our hands banazeh before we eat bread. So that was the Gemara saying that there's our Mishnah says you have to wash your hands, that's talking about eating bread. And where we say it's mutter, you don't have to wash your hands, that's talking about eating peiros. And how do you know that you don't have to wash your hands before eating peiros? The Gemara goes on. The Amar of Nachman, kol anota yadav leperos, hare ze migase haruach. The Rav Nachman says, to wash your hands before eating peiros, that's a notion of arrogance and should be avoided. So we don't wash our hands before eating fruit, but we do wash our hands before eating bread. This is as an interesting one-liner side note. Apparently the Taz, this is related to Urchatz. We're essentially in Pesach time, especially since like all of the schools are basically closed in many places until Pesach. Pesach is the next thing that's going to be on our minds. The Taz says that you should not wash your hands for Urchatz based on this Gemara, because the Gemara says, "Klanot l'yadav l'peiros, hari zeh megase haruach." It's a notion of arrogance to be makbid to wash your hands for peiros. I don't think anyone is knowing for that. Clearly, I mean, I guess to do Urchatz, but that was just an interesting, somewhat inyan adiyoma as well. So to finish off the Gemara in Yochasim at Beis, the Gemara says one more inyan about washing your hands and kavana. Tana rabbanan hanot l'yadav niskavein yadav tahoros lo niskavein yadav tameyos. If you had proper kavana, you say, I'm washing my hands in order so that they should become tameh, then they're in order that they should become tahor, then they are tahor. If you do not have kavana, they're going to be tameh. V'chein ha-matbil yadav, niskavin yadav tahoros, lo niskavin yadav tameyos. Similarly also, by being matbil, dipping your hands in the mikvah, that's also going to have the same din. You need to have proper kavana. If you don't have kavana, your hands are still tameh. But the Gemara asks, what do you mean? V'atanya, bein niskavin, bein lo niskavin, yadav tahoros. Whether or not you had kavana, either way, your hands are tahor. You don't need to have kavana before being no-till or matvil your yadayin. Tamar of Nachman, lo kasha, kan lechulin, kan lemeiser. By chulin, you do not have to have kavana when it comes to eating meiser sheni. And Rashi says also, kol shekein, the truma. If you want to eat meiser sheni or truma, then one must have kavana when they're washing their hands or being matbil their hands. That's the Gemara on Yeches, talking about sources for the Isra of Kol HaMoed, and Yeches Amid Beis talking about this Nyanim of Tumah and Taira, which are going to take us throughout the rest of the Masechta. Thank you so much, everyone, for calling in.
Thank you. Thank you.